You know, these guys a little healthier this week, you know, and going over there on a long trip and having five guys that for the first time had five guys down on defense and all of them legitimately down, you know, going into that game. Thought our guys really rallied, and I thought the next man up on a lot of situations, and we had a couple of eye violations in the second half that hurt us. But, you know, that team we played over there, Minnesota, I think has a lot of very good skill guys, especially in the wide receiver position. And I know Case, because Case had been on our team at the Rams for quite a while, and he does a very good job, you know, doing what you're supposed to at a quarterback, taking what's there. And we affected him quite a bit, you know, on making the ball go certain places, and we let a couple get away from us. You know, it's like the theme of the story that I have to do every week when I have the staff in the film, and then all of a sudden the players in the film, getting rid of those one or two plays. This will be a good matchup for us. I think Matthew Stafford, you know, is the real deal, and I think he's spins the ball, throws the ball as well as anybody in our league for years. You know, I've had a chance to almost every year, you know, that he has played in the league have been someplace where we have played against him. So I have a pretty good familiarity of what he does, how he goes about, you know, in the ball game. And then from Coach Caldwell, his philosophy of offense, and Jim Bob Cooter, what he's done, and some of the similarities he has with some of the guys he's been on staff with before. I know those guys pretty well, and our guys are ready to come out of the bye week and play. Questions?
Well, you're getting Miles back, so just that in and of itself, what does
it's always mean? Good, and you know, and again, I don't get a chance to read things, and I purposely don't, because I take a look at everything I'm supposed to be doing. But I appreciate your article that I heard about this morning. It really pissed me off when somebody questions whether a kid has a concussion or not, and I'm being very truthful. And any of you in here really want to piss me off? Okay, that's stupid, and it's a good thing I wasn't in the building when all that went down. You know, Myles Garrett is a very, very, very tough human being. And the fact that he played through a bang upside the head, and, you know, it didn't affect him until a few days later. There is never a question in my mind that that young man wants to play, can play, and will play. And that's just, you know, one of the things that goes on in our game, especially nowadays when it's, you know, you saw last night, you know, Russell's rubbing his jaw and they make him go over there and there's nothing wrong with him. But that's good. You know, I've had 8 documented concussions. Can you tell? You know, I mean, back in the old days, that just didn't happen. But I think it's great. There's nothing, you know, no residual with him. He's sharp as a tack. He's practiced very, very well. Was upset that he couldn't play. But that's how we go about doing things, and that was the right thing to do. And then we've got our DBs. They're coming back healthy. And I don't think people understand how tough you have to be to play defensive back in this league, especially on some of the demands of what I want them to do and how I want them to go about, you know, being physical and tackle. So I'm looking forward to, you know, a healthy defensive football team to go over there and really play well.
So you've been in the league for a long time, and the attitudes kind of both players have changed as more information has been learned about concussions. Are you happy to see that Miles wasn't feeling right and self-reported? Do you think that's a good thing?
Yeah, I do. I do, and also, so that everybody knows is that if you are any person with any body language, I think I have a PhD in body language, I'm going to report it. I'm going to see it. I see it, you know, and during the ball game, you know, Clyde Simmons, you know, has played for 15 years in a fist fight in a phone booth. He knows what it looks like too. You know, and we're going to take care of our guys. There's no need not to. And, you know, he was here Monday. and there wasn't anything wrong, you know. He'll tell you that. It wasn't until that evening that when he felt it. You know, I have sons that have played and gone through the same thing. My son that was at Virginia Tech and had a stint at the Raiders and had a stint at the Chiefs, you know, as a middle linebacker. It had been a couple of days later on him on a couple of times it's happened. So those are just things that come about. Everybody's different. And the fact that I think we have a great staff here that really don't just come and stand on the sideline and watch the game. They come and do their jobs on the sideline. So I think it's good.
Will you address it with, the person who questioned Miles? Will you personally?
Yeah, what if I see it? Yeah, I will. Yep.
What is your take on guys who question people who self-report?
You know, but here's the deal is that it's not them. Okay? Talk about yourself. That's it.
When you're playing Stafford, you mentioned how well he spins it. Some of your players are talking about how he comes to the line, you know, they go no-huddle, he comes to the line, diagnoses the defense. What challenges does that propose, and how do you deal with that, that he's kind of trying to identify it early and then?
You know, the big thing with that is that I think coaches are smart when they allow certain players that can handle that to do that. We as coaches are over on the sideline guessing. Players inside the white lines know. They're playing. We're not playing. And so defensively, I do a lot of that defensively. I put the power of many types of checks and or alerts on our guys. I got to teach them the right ones to do, but that's the same thing with them. They got to teach Matthew the right ones to do. But that's not anything new, you know, from Joe Montana to Troy Aikman to Steve Young to Brett Favre to all the ones I've gone against. And one of the best ones is Peyton Manning and all those people, Drew Brees. You know, all those guys do a great job with that. And really, when you're very confident and know that you've got a guy that has a lot of experience doing that. As a coach, that shows me that you also are pretty good at your job because you understand and you put the power in those guys' hands. And we've already been playing against that. You know, Ben did that, and we forced that a lot in that opening game there where they weren't huddling and stuff. So that's not something we haven't seen. And our guys, you know, understand that challenge and will do things to mess with the picture. We'll, you know, maybe disguise the picture a little bit. But then when it gets down to it, it's still mano a mano and having to make a play.
When you have guys like, you know, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, they've consistently shown the ability to make difficult catches even in tight mm-hmm. coverage. How do you even defend against players like that?
Those guys right there have both done a great job. I think Marvin's done an unbelievable job about going vertical and doing it. And I don't know that Golden gets enough credit for being as tough as he is at a wide receiver. You know, I smile, and, you know, he's a guy that I'd play on defense, you know, because you could tell how tough he is. But how I term those things so that we don't get frustrated defensively as a coach and don't get frustrated defensively as a player is those type of really good plays are what I call earned plays. They earned that catch. They earn that play. I just don't want them to have gimmies. Don't want them to have simple things. So when they go up and do those kind of things, that's going to happen. And then we've got to get on to the next play, be a little bit more physical on the next play, and make our plays too.
Peppers took a lot upon himself this week, saying that, you know, anything that has gone wrong with him in the first half of the season was just all his fault. I mean, he was a little.
What a great kid, you know. I didn't tell him to do that, but that's great on his part.
And what do you see as his evolving role in the second half of the season?
I think all rookies, in my experience, you see quite a bit of improvement and more comfortability in the second half of their first season. The first half, no matter how much you do it in training camp, how much you do it in preseason, it's still a shock to these guys that all of a sudden that everybody in this league can play and how fast everybody else in this league is. That's been one of the things that he's, you know, he's just been so dominantly better and dominantly quicker. He plays with really good instincts, but he has to sharpen those skills. He has to sharpen those instincts. And we see that in practice, you know. I want him to have enough confidence to believe in himself and go ahead and make some of those risky plays in a game. And you can't be afraid to make a mistake to take a risk, okay? And then can you understand at the NFL level that risk is not going to be a big gain? It could be points, okay? So he's got to be able to make the decisions on, you know, what's worth it, what's not. And he come a long way. You know, he thinks like a coach, and it's fun to listen to him talk. It's been fun to listen to him practice out there and go through all the things. You know, in between series, he'll be over there going, and he never shuts up. And he's over there in between the series talking about all the plays that just took place. And he will be talking. He doesn't know I'm listening. I tell him I can't hear anymore, but I have selective hearing. Okay, so he's going back through that. If I would have done this, if I would have done this, you know, why didn't I see that? And that's great. You know, he's playing the game more than once. He's playing the play more than once. And, you know, the brain doesn't realize when you visualize it all over again, whether you played it or whether you're just visualizing it. And you're getting yourself quicker and quicker and quicker on doing it later on. And he gets that, and he does that a lot.
When you did the self-scout during the bye, what did you discover about the red zone? How you guys are doing in the red zone?
I don't want to say bad words. No, I'm just kidding you. Is that been places where we haven't been as dominant on the run. We're pretty dominant. And one of the things when you see the passing game part of it down there is because people have says, uh-oh, don't want to mess with this. And so we have forced more passes down there because we are so dominant against the run. Now, okay, we've got to do a better job in some of the spatial plays. That shows ability. And we've got to do a better job in some of the schematic responsibility. And that is time on task. And there hasn't been very many repeat mistakes, as I would say. But we've got to do a better job in some of the athletic events or the athletic spatial plays. We've got to do a better job in those areas because we'll play zone, we'll play man, we'll play pressure. You know, there's not any other type of schemes that you can invent to play down there. We do. And then some of our things in our check systems down there is they're built to be able to handle things. And with a young team, and with a couple of brand new guys driving the car, you know, I think we've gotten better and better and better as the year's gone on about it, but we have to do a better job. One, not letting them get down there. And two, when they are down there in the tight low red zone, make them kick field goals. That has to be a thing.
What goals have you set for your defense for these final 8 games of the season?
You know, the big thing is there is this constant improvement. And that's every day. You know, the game production doesn't just happen with idle meetings and idle practices. You know, you got to come in the doorway every morning ready to go. And I do believe this, and I've had so many really, really good players that, you know, at the end of their career, once they stop playing, they miss that structure and they miss that discipline. You know, one of the things that's less chaotic about all their lives is when they step inside the building and they know that I'm going to be hard and be focused and be the same person every day and very demanding. That's almost a calmness for them, because they know what to expect, and there's not a lot of confusion that goes on in some of these young men's lives outside of the building. Have had nobody come in and try to take days off. And for the most part, as you'll see, if you guys are around here, on their own, voluntarily, because this is a young team, they're here on their days off, studying. Now, I have ways, you know, to help them study and tell them, you know, that, you know, this is the things you need to be doing on your own. We have really, really good facility here, and we've got really, really, really good things here, you know, how we break things down and stuff like that. And they have their surfaces at home too. But for the most part, they like hanging around each other. And this is a big thing now. How do you see it? 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 And all of a sudden, you guys have seen it four different ways, but you're playing side by side. How is that? So the way you have to do that is when coaches aren't in the room, you got to talk. You got to talk. I see it this way. I see it this way. And you know what? I've learned so many things from really good players on how I go about coaching now. That's how I keep their attention. I tell them stories every day. They tell me all the time I tell too many stories. And that's their way of making me smile. But they see that this player, and I call the player by name, and they're all shocked that this is a Hall of Famer, or they're shocked that this is a Pro Bowler, or they're shocked that this is a Super Bowl player that taught me how to do this. This isn't my way. I learned this from him. Can you do it this way? So even on their day off on Tuesdays, they're all in here, for the most part, talking, and before we ever start on Wednesday, they've got a pretty good grip on the team before we start on Wednesday. And today, as soon as we walk off the field today, and I tell them all the time, I brag on this, they don't know that I'm not, you know, that maybe I'm spoofing them, but I'm not. The most important meeting of the week is going on right now. So Coach Jackson has what's called a captains-only meeting. So the captains bring the players off offensively and defensively, and they're in meetings and they have a script of things that they've set up, and they're going through and playing the game. And they're going to talk more when I'm not in there. It's going to be just like in the game. So from that standpoint, there's where I'll see even more improvement going into the rest of the year, because they have a feel for each other. You know, can I look at you and not say anything, and you know, you and I both know this is what I'm thinking? And they do that now. They're looking at each other and just nodding at each other, and they both see the same thing, but you can't do that unless you put time in.
What's missing in terms of getting a win, and will you guys get one?
We have to, defensively on our side of the ball, you know, and here's what we say. We have to do a better job of taking the ball away, providing better field position for our offense. We only have one score on defense. Why don't we have more? We got to score on defense, those type of things. And then, obviously, do a better job on our scoring defense down in the low red zone, because you're not seeing very many explosive plays against this team, and that was a tough part of last year. They have way too many explosive plays. We've got that handled. But now when you get down in there, we got to make people kick field goals.
Let's go more. With the run defense and the explosive plays, two pretty good steps forward there.
Big steps, yeah. And you know, not only that is there's a lot of. And I think I mentioned to this the other day, and I really until this year, because I'm looking for all the positives I can to help them so they'll put up with me one more day, is that there's a lot of individual guys that are really highly ranked playing their position on defense here, and people would say what, they are. You know, they're ranked very high in some of the productive things defensively, and we just got to keep on plugging away and not flinch. We can't flinch.
This is a little bit off topic for you, but I'm asking you this question because I know you have some familiarity inside the building with this sort of thing. Are you confident that you guys have the right kind of infrastructure in place to support a player like Josh Gordon?
You know, I really don't know him yet. I really haven't even talked to him. There's an awful lot of really good people in this building. It's one of the most talented buildings I've been in, you know, in all the years I've been coaching. But one of the best gifts I was ever given to me was by Sean Payton many years ago. And I don't know if I've told you guys this story again. I'm going to tell another story. The players tell me I tell too many stories. Is that there's a nameplate on my desk, and it says beautiful. It is a beautiful nameplate. It says Greg Williams in cursive writing, defensive coordinator. That's what you see when you walk in. What I look at on the back, there's a plate saying, just coach the effing defense. Don't get involved in things that ain't you. And it makes me smile every day when I look at it. But that's how I cope, okay, because I do have strong opinions. And when you ask, I'll tell you, just like I'll tell you all. And then, like I said, I do appreciate that article because Miles is a good kid. good young man. And but I do, I just stay in my lane. That's what I do.
You have seen everything, I would imagine, or almost everything in the league. How do you, I know it's only 1 year for you here, but how do you fight 0-8 and 1-23?
I will tell you is that I'm very confident in myself, you know, as a leader, you know, as a defensive coach, and we have made a lot of strides. So every day there's a battle, every day there's a win, and the ultimate thing of what we have to do and why we're here is to win on Sundays, to win on game days. But there's all kinds of small wins going on behind the scenes. And I think that if you would talk to players, you would say they would tell you that too, especially about, you know, the way we go about, the way I go about doing things with them. I believe with all my heart that any good player wants these three things. One, be taught or coached. Two, to be motivated. And three, to be inspired. If you can't do those three things as a coach or a leader in this profession, you're not for long. And I've never had players be able to push back because they see that we pretty much know what's going on, and we can make you better individually no matter how good you are. And you got to be really good on my watch, our watch. And some of them are playing the best they've ever played in their life, and it's still not good enough. So how do you accept that and know that I'm getting better, but I got to do more? I got to do more. Well, they see it from me because I got to do more. Okay, I've got to help you more. Nobody makes a mistake on purpose. You make a mistake because you don't know. If you don't know whose fault, is it mine? And we got to go about and we got to continue to eliminate those little bitty things. And when you look across the league, there's a lot more going on wrong other places defensively. But we got to be better than what we have been, and that's our goal, and we will be.